Mike, Gattaca. Remember that movie? It's perfect.
Yeah.
It showed us in the 90s what we're going to be in about another 10. You know, they'll have food trucks that test DNA, you know, at your leisure. You go over to the food truck and you're like, I got a hair of this chick. Let's see, how's her genes? You know, and then they run the hair sample and they're going, oh, yeah. No, that one's got a heart defect, or no, that one's got this, and no, that one's this, and, you know, everybody's testing each other, right, to see if they can...
Well, the thing about this, what I was going to get at with the speedy trials, it doesn't apply to backlogs of lab stuff. So even though they knew they couldn't use that DNA evidence in the rape case, they kept it on file. It should have been thrown away. But they entered all that DNA into the criminal database once they finally got around to testing it. And you're talking about face prints a minute ago, or, you know, biometrics in general. If you're looking for somebody, let's say somebody like me is a ne'er-do-well local journalist you want to get rid of, right? Okay, I know, but let's say you're the establishment status quo five families that run a state, and they need to get rid of somebody.
Okay.
Michael Hastings or whoever, right? You run, you scour, you whatever it's called, rake the database for lookalikes that you can compromise. I met one of my lookalikes in this small town, the targeted town of Kim Davis. Just so happened I was taking my boy to the clinic the same day he was taking his daughter. He was barely an inch taller than me, and he'd been brought into this town on a one-year renewable contract. While he was walking across to the parking lot of this restaurant, a woman started talking to him, and I go all over the place and people recognize me, right? But because I was on camera for, I don't know, 13 years, but maybe longer. Anyway, and they recognized my voice first. Like, I know that voice because I was on a lot of local commercials. Well, this guy's walking across a parking lot, and this woman starts talking to him, and he has to cut her off after a minute and says, ma'am, how do I know you? And she says something like, well, Charlie, we've known each other for years. You're telling me you don't remember? And it was another guy that looked like him. Well, at the local bus garage, there was a guy that people would get their jollies by putting people up to go to the guy and say, hey, you're the guy that does that local TV station, that Biodog's Dog, and it would make him mad every time. He'd be like, that's not me. So there's four lookalikes in a county of less than 25,000 for me.
Wow.
Now, you do think that any of them could have had IRS problems or problems, they could go, look, we want you to go rent this rider's truck. You're going to go rent this rider truck for us, and you're going to drive it over here to this place, go into McDonald's, order a burger, make a scene, right? So
High-density Mike from Kentucky.
Lee Harvey McVeigh. They can do this to anybody. You can do this to anybody. That's not crazy. That's where we're at.
No.
I could find a doppelganger, compromise them.
Well, that's an interesting statement, right? And I guess that really does scare me a little bit more. I mean, I just never thought
a troublemaker for the establishment, you and Alan. We just need to find some lookalikes and run into one of them wineries down there in Fredericksville and throw a Molotov cocktail in the window in front of witnesses. Catch you on one of these whiz-bang 4K cameras.
And then they're going to do a Steve Bannon to me.
We're always watching you, so we know when you are alone and you have no alibi.
Ah, yes. Alan, you're quiet. Andy, you're quiet. Who wants to talk?
Well, I can tell you that in our small town here, there have been digital cameras on the stoplights in this town for like 25 years. Some of the first places I ever saw it, when I would travel back and forth from Arkansas to down here, it's like I noticed the digital cameras down here. This is like 95. I mean, way early.
Okay.
Because We're a perfect test bed for it because we've got people from all over the country, you know, sometimes all over the world coming in here. So it was a very good test bed to figure out, you know, their facial recognition and their RFID readers.
Okay, just a second. Let me chime in with something and go on. How long has this been going on? You said 1995. Just start looking into it, and I don't know why the dang YouTube keeps hitting me with video suggestions about Paul McCartney dying in 1968. They replaced him with a stunt double. MI6 was doing that, scraping the database for lookalikes then.
Well, it sounds like it's going to get easier for him. You know, we can get a duplicate of Andy, right? And we can have all the little Mexican chicks beat up on him.
There you go. Wait, are you thinking there, Steve?
we'll send him back to Lubbock, and then we'll have him walking around and go talk to your cop.
The China model says it all. I mean, if you've seen any video, you got to think, though, a lot of people in the Chinese community, no offense to them, they tend to look a lot alike and stuff. So the detail that they're getting on these facial recognition, you know, maybe there's a little mole underneath the left eye or something, or there's a scar.
I don't think that's true.
That is a sandbox for developing this. They did that on purpose, and they do parallel processing of the population so that they're only looking at a database in a given area. That's how they do that.
Well, do you remember, this has been a year or two back, I can remember hearing reports that China was able to, you know, if they said, we want to look for Zhen Shuangpu, you know, it's like they could find them within like 5 seconds or something like that, because all the digital cameras that are everywhere in China... And they could find basically any Chinese citizen they wanted, because everyone is required to have a smartphone, from what I understand, and there are cameras everywhere. And they could
most of us go
in
the same
billion and a half.
Most of us have a routine, a weekly routine that we don't vary from. So you just have to watch a given area, you know, you break down the processing over those different areas.
You're right. Yeah. Predictability.
Well, at the same time, if you see some of these videos, every place they enter, they have to show their cell phone, and so boom, it tells you right where they're at. So they only have to, it gives you the location of where the neighborhood where they're at, and then they can search all those. It makes it easy that way. If you watch some of these videos from China, they have to show a passport, if you will, on their phone to get into the local store or the butcher shop or whatever. Yeah.
And then if you go out the back door, it flags you, because even if you have that phone turned off in a Faraday pouch, they can still get data out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably argue that point, but if you put a phone in a Faraday pouch that actually worked, then the phone itself couldn't get telemetry data, and the outside world couldn't triangulate, right?
You're correct. Only a metal box will work, though, because audio still can get in.
It does create a flag. It creates a flag by going,
exactly.
Why the hell can't I do this? Okay, let's put some attention on that phone. Why did it just disappear?
Right.
You know,
then
it's not producing data.
At all the street cameras and everything. It's like, this person just disappeared right here. It's like, where is he? Exactly.
And next time you do that, it pushes a software update into your phone so that it records the audio thing and the signal's gone.
Right,
I would
now
think
you're
that
have
they
to...
already have that. I think they've got that probably at least 2005. Well, you know, Snowden leaked that Picasso slide in the Advanced Network catalog.
That was second generation stuff we're talking about with Snowden, right? First generation was Ungrate Britain. Right, and Great Britain had the first wonderful totalitarian camera system, right? They had the police in London. They could see all the cameras. They could see the camera in the chocolate shop, in the coffee shop, right? If you had a closed-circuit television, right, you know, they had to have a feed from it, right? So they had taps into everything. They could see everything. And then they had a problem.
I worked with a cable TV engineer whose home life completely blew up on him because he was charitable and he let this guy stay at his house as a handyman. And of course, it lasted about a year, and his wife took up with him. So he took his children and moved back out to the Four Corners area along Route 666, which they changed the name of. I guess the route number. People kept stealing the signs. He worked with the to try to get the phone companies back in 1995, I think. They had a mandate of triangulating cell phones, even where there's only one cell phone tower, to less than 10 feet. So by the mid-90s, with voice print identification and the tracking, they had all your known associates way before William Benny says he was working on it. And the reason I know that is because
I have heard from several sources that the basic concept and the workings of the Internet was developed by 1966, yet it didn't come out until like the mid-90s, really. What were they doing?
Well, because of my exposing this locally, I have a source that came forward that came from a foreign country with a heavy foreign accent. First real job that they had was working with the phone company, and they were bringing them in 1968 to do voice-to-text with a heavy Eastern European accent. So, you know, the implication is that all the main Anglo-American empire, common American and English accents, they were already doing voice-to-text to transcribe that to allow it to be analyzed at some point for keywords in 1968.
Also in 1968, that's when they implemented the 911 service. Now, every city didn't get it, but that's when they started implementing it. And then, ironically, if you add 33 years to 68, it comes out to 2001, and we got our magic number of 33 in there, too.
Well, 1979 supposedly is when the Israelis started their Talpiot domination program, and that put them all up in our phone billing to know who's calling who, and how long the call lasted, and I would admit,
data.
It's depicted in Valkyrie that the Nazis were already listening in to phones while they were on the hook. It's in the Fromm office scene. I posted it on my YouTube channel. So, surreptitious, when you think you're not being spied on, that's when they get the best intelligence. You're candid.
And all these people that say, I don't care if they know what I had for breakfast, you know, or
just
know, when I went to the store, it's like, see, people don't understand the awesome power. Not one or two bits of data doesn't do crap, but when you've got billions or trillions of bits of data, predictability comes into play.
Your
and a vast majority of what we call freedom is your unpredictability. If you're predictable, you're really not.
Triangulating things is kind of a fascinating thing. I want to get back to Andy here in a minute, but let me tell you this. When I part of my job is finding access points and Wi-Fi equipment in foreign, you know, locations. So I go in there and says, "Where's your stuff?" "Oh, I don't know." And I take out my meter and I have to use a single phone to find this dang thing. Well, I have more than a phone. I have my eyes, right? My eyes do really good, and I look at the reading. I look around me, and I look at the environment, and I move to another place. And then with that, I can extrapolate where this Wi-Fi access point is just based under my understanding of the walls and the things that are involved. I can come and pinpoint that with a single cellular network. So I don't know, man. You know, it all gets crazy. You know, the Israelis, right, they're all happy because they've managed to augment the code of a standard Wi-Fi router and use it to map a room, right? So, oh, crap, really? So they can get into your router, right? It probably just depends what kind of router you got and all that, if it's powerful enough to do that kind of, extrapolation. But it will sit there and, yeah, it could be a Roomba, too, and it's scanning and bouncing signals and sending it back. And all of a sudden, you got telemetry on a house. You know where the walls are, where the shoes are.
That's so the Slaughterbots can fly inside. After they bust open a window, the Slaughterbots can fly inside.
Yep, the hive bot, yeah.
Well, hey. Thanks for the call, Mike. I'm going to get back to Andy
and Mike's conversation. With us, I'll repeat what Darren said about my call. It's like, well, that was kind of depressing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Andy. So you're out there, right? You're in Ohio. You how's you're detoxing, stuff's coming out your nose, right? And you're feeling better, you're feeling worse, you're feeling about the same.
Well, hey, no, actually, I got a little treatment yesterday afternoon, and then I got put on a thing called Caldex, and once I took one of those and I went to bed, and this morning I had a lot less pain, a lot more mobility, and I feel my strength starting to come back. So whatever I'm doing right now, I might sound like crap right now, but whatever's happening here, it seems to be getting better. Since yesterday, I was really in pain the last few days, but... That's me detoxing and you know, just getting started on this stuff that I was put on. And she said that I would have to be, I would get sick.
And folks, let me say this real quick, folks. A report on our friend Lauren, just saw a real brief snapshot of her. I would like to see more pictures of her. Lauren is as beautiful as I thought she probably would be. She's a beautiful woman.
Oh, you guys.
Is she not, Andy?
She's absolutely gorgeous, inside and out.
Inside and out, yes.
Yeah. She's got a beautiful heart, and she's got wonderful children that reflect her exactly, and they're just... This is one family that knows where they're going, or at least trying to get to where they're going, and she's doing a fantastic job of that.
Yeah, it's a scary place where they're going, where we're going, all over the place, right? Because, you know, they're not moving, right? The whole world is moving around us. And that's the scary bit, right? It's moving into, well, you don't got power. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. I was trying to add this into the show, right? I was having a conversation with one of a retired gentleman that used to do a whole bunch of hotel stuff. And he said, Steve, in 10 years, what do you think Fredericksburg's going to look like? I'm all, that's unfair. Hell if I know. But hey, since you asked, the United Nations is kind of wants us to get rid of cars. Right? They've been wanting to do it for a while, so I'd predict that. Yeah, since the United Nations has the biodiversity corridor right here, Fredericksburg will still be here, and it'll be a playtown. He says, well, what about the housing? That's not a big deal. There's plenty of surrounding places, and they'll put in a shuttle system, a bus system, and move the plebs into Fredericksburg to service the big winos, right? They're building mansions and things all around, and that's where kind of, you know, I see Lauren's family and, well, you and every single person listening to this show going to, right? We're going into an energy crisis this winter. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that was a good one.
Hey, Steve, on this note real quick, you know, you've got access to the maps. I've seen them before. But, you know, folks, if you look at the Agenda 21 or 2030 or whatever nightmare they want to call it now, right in our area, we are in one of the allowed population corridors. You know, it's like, you know, it'll be rewilding all around us. And, Steve, I've wondered why, you know, All these millionaires and billionaires are moving out here and buying up these fancy ranches, and they're all from the same part of the country. There's got to be some coordinated, some society,
there is something.
Club that they're a part of that says, move here. It will be one of the allowed places where you will be allowed to live and actually have some property, you know. I've wondered, you know, it's like, why are all these people from the same damn basic place? You know, they're all fleeing here and moving here and buying up family ranches, building mansions, and flying in their jets, you know. And I wondered about this, and Steve can tell you, it's like we are in one of the allowed population corridors under the 2030 agenda.
You might not be, Alan. You might not be because, you know, you have your own property, and that's probably a no bueno for them in the future. And it's like, well, that needs to be rewilded. So we're going to have to scrape Alan off the...
Come out here and say, we need this for a new project. We're letting a billionaire move in, and he's going to pay us a lot more property taxes. So we're going to take your property from you. You know, in today's justice system, they'll probably be able to do it, but they won't be able to do it without a fight from me. I can tell you that.
Well, hey, gentlemen.
Okay, so they get a pledge to fight you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Andy.
No, I just want to ask you a question because you're talking about how the population is increasing and stuff. We know that the food sources have been cut. Our fertilizer has been cut with 115 plus processing plants that down. There's going to be a food shortage, according to the UN, in the Northern Hemisphere in early 2023, this, that, and the other. And yet they're still sending millions and millions and millions of people across our border to get, and even in Europe, they're sending all these people to the places where we're going to have the shortages of food. Can either one of you, there's probably a reason for it, and can either one of you give us the best guess on why they're doing it?
Cannibalism, Andy.
I know, New York Times.
New York Times. Republic of Texas Radio will be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, where did we leave off? You know, I know I got a lot of things I wanted to talk about on today or with Andy and, well, without Andy. Where were we, Andy?
I just asked you guys, they know that we're running out of food here. They said that we're going to be running out of food here, and yet they're still pushing millions and millions of people into our hemisphere, which is going to be another drag down on the food and a price hike because as it gets sparing, what is their plan? I mean, why are they letting all these people in when they purposely destroyed our food?
I believe that your theory that they are shoving the southern populations into the United States of America, the corporate U.S. as it was, or were, as we were, and then they're going to stop it, right? The depopulating Southern America and then, well, killing all people in America. Hey, that's a possibility. I could see them doing that, you know, ramming everybody up north, take away the food and let them fight for it. Seems like a pretty good way to kill all people.
And it's destroying the social cohesion of what used to be America. You know, this great country, you know, the spotlight of the world. Not only is it doing that, but Andy, it's also a great source of Soylent Green when they do get us to start eating each other, literally.
Absolutely. Well, here's another one for you. I mean, let's look at, okay, all the stuff is going on, digital currency coming in, the food shortage. I said this on Farron's show yesterday. We're not hearing, I'd like to hear somebody who goes to these political whatever events and whatnot, and tell us, did these guys, you know, if they're really for the American people, they'd get a lot of attention if they told us about the digital currency coming up. And these guys get on national TV and people hear them. We're not getting any of that. They're not talking about the carbon tax. They're not talking about anything that we're sitting here worried about. And so if there's a politician out there, I say none of them are worthy of leading our government because they're not talking about these things, because these are things that the American people need to know.
I can tell you one thing in our local community. Our local representative who owned a hardware store here, since he became a representative, all of a sudden, this guy, whether he got a lot of monetary value from it, he made a lot of contacts, and all of a sudden, he's got a lot of financial opportunities around here, and he's doing pretty good getting ready to build a new hardware store, and I hear that he's bought up all kinds of properties here, a restaurant here, different places since he became a representative. You know, he was never poor because you don't own a store in this town and be poor. Was he a fairly decent guy? I know people that say, yeah, he was pretty good. And from what I know him, seemed pretty good. But I don't know other people that say he was a piece of crap. You know, everyone has their opinions. But I can tell you since he became a representative, his financial opportunities seem to have expanded in a pretty good degree.
Don't they?
Yeah.
All of them do.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, I get it. And, hell, we're not going to politic this way out of it, right? We'll go back to Andy's point, right? They're creating a situation, a perfect situation, right? We have shelf problems, right? But you can't see them. Farron talked about it on the alternate media yesterday, right? A box of crackers, one old and stale. Well, maybe not quite. One old and stale, the other one brand new. Oh, damn. Smaller than the other one. That's interest. And, you know, it's like way down at the bottom of the bag. Hello, are you down there, crackers? Right? And there's nothing that you can do but just kind of laugh, right? So, yeah, but you've been talking to people about this. I've been talking about people about the shrinkflation type situation for a long time, years. Even before we started talking about it, right? In the 90s, I know it was like, hey, what are you doing, right? That was 12 ounces and now it's 9. What? Hold on, right? And now it's normal to have these little tiny 6-ounce Cokes. Oh, isn't it cute? Just one slurp.
And buy a party-sized bag of potato chips and it's this great big bag, you know, all puffed up. And you look at it, and it says 12 ounces of chips. You know, you open the bag up, and there's like a quarter of a bag of chips in there.
It's a party, my R's. Actually, the R's is a swear word. Alan told me it was. It was the correct enunciation.
If we want to revert to actual old-time proper English, yeah, that was a worse word than the three-letter word, which could mean a donkey or a dolt, an idiot. But, yeah.
there's a lot of those.
Terrible. Well, okay. So let's fill the folks in a little bit on, you know, you moved from Texas. You're a longtime listener, longtime caller, right? And you moved from, well, Texas, but you didn't really move. But you're there. You're in Ohio. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back, and then maybe we'll see where we go. Republic of Texas Radio.
Tell the money times when it does, I know it's on, it's you and I. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
All right. Okay, we're back. Hey, Texas Radio. Hey, I was trying to talk to you a little bit about Andy. We'll move on to calls here in a second. But Andy came to the show during the Corona COVID, right? You know, he was living in Texas. You know, he had this little warehouse that he lived in. And, perhaps he still does, but he's in Ohio right this second. And he crossed the street one day and he did the floppy fish and they took him over to the hospital and they tried to inject him with a whole bunch of junk and give him a bunch of drugs. And he hasn't been good since. He was able to get out of the hospital, right? And look at all the pills that they tried to force down his throat. And they said, "We don't know what's wrong with you, but take these." He's like, "Oh, what the crap?" But anyways, he's moving over to Ohio. You're actually helping Lauren remodel a house, right? Doing a bunch of different stuff because she's doing some stuff. She's doing a lot of stuff locally. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. This is one busy woman. I'm not necessarily remodeling the house. I'm going to help her put it back together carpets and stuff were in bad shape. So, yeah, in a sense, we are remodeling it. Yeah. The one thing about Ohio is, holy cow, if you've never seen these trees in the fall, especially in this area, the Athens area, if you've never seen the trees coming into this, I mean, they're just so many colors, red, orange, green, blue, black, whatever you look, and it's, And it's well portioned too. It's like something you'd see in a puzzle, because that would be very difficult. They all look the same, and you got to find puzzle pieces. I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life. But we're in the outskirts of Athens. I understand Athens is a liberal little city. I don't know, 40,000 or so, but they're liberal. And everybody on the outside, there's several little tiny towns out around it. These people are all not necessarily Republicans or conservatives, but they're leave me alone against, you know. They don't want nobody messing with them. They don't have police forces in their little towns that have to rely on the county and stuff. Some of them used to have mayors. Some of them don't have mayors. They just don't have the politics in the outskirts of it. The beauty is I can't see a neighbor from the house I'm sitting in right now. It's a pretty good-sized house, too. I can't see a neighbor. And just down the hill is a water treatment plant, and that you can tell what. My water tastes like chlorine. But hey, whatever, I don't drink it. Lauren's got a really good well at her place. She puts it through a Berkey, and she brings me gallon jugs of her water, and it's the best water I've ever tasted in my life. So it's like, yeah.
Nice. More Berkey, please.
Exactly.
Yeah, we used to get out water out at Allen's from his well in Berkey, and that was the best water in the area. You know, now there it's kind of... You know, going over to his house to get well water might be worth it, right? And then you had to Berkey it, but he didn't have a lot of lime. Anyways, let's go to the phones and let's continue this because we got two callers. First, Murr, welcome to the show, Murr.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I mainly want to address Andy because I heard Luca apologizing up one side and down the other for getting you off the phone, because when you said she pulled my hoodie, he thought it was street lingo for something else.
Oh. Hey, no, seriously, I should apologize to Luca, because after that happened, I just wanted to get it fresh out of my head, and I just blew into his little hour and screwed up. He's like, hey, stay on point. We'll go to the next caller. Which is understandably, I should be apologizing to Luca, but yeah, he doesn't owe me no apology.
Well, I just wanted to pass on that I've heard him say a couple times now, and I thought, well, Andy needs to know, because I doubt he's listening, you know, after that.
No,
or whatever,
actually, no. I actually listened to him. I heard him right at the beginning of the show. He apologized to me, and I was, I wanted to call him up, but I was headed out to go build a bluff for hunting and stuff, so I didn't get a chance to call him.
Well, I guess this is a good opportunity for me to apologize to upsetting Alan, too. So I'm sorry,
you know,
Alan.
Murr, it's not that I hate you or anything. But, you know, and it's like when you disappeared for a long time, I said, hey, has anyone heard from Murr Bailey? It's like she haven't heard her call in for like a month and a half, you know? It's not like I hate you or you're an enemy or something. Do we aggravate each other at times? Yes. But, you know, it's not like I never want to talk to you and I don't value, you know, what you have to say. But, you know, certain things just, you know, I'm not perfect, you know. If certain things set me off a little bit, and I guess they shouldn't, but... You know, I am kind of living, you know, on the edge of a razor, you know, because I know exactly pretty much what's going on, and I see it progressing, and I kind of live on a razor's edge, and a lot of people don't like talking to me, and I like Stantmiller, I can be a little bit hot-headed at times. Some things, you know, sometimes some things will set me off when they really shouldn't, but yeah, I kind of live on an edge, and I do apologize if it sounds like I hated you, but... You know, it's not that I hate you, Murr.
Oh, I know. You see, this is the thing about their media that just aggravates me so much, you know, because it's so effective. You know, and it's they don't
Kumbaya,
pay all that money to make it.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
They don't pay all that money. They don't pay all that money to make these movies for nothing. You know, they're effective.
I know.
You know, the predictive programming.
See, Murr, I do understand the manipulation, you know.
Oh, I know you do.
There are very few movies. It's like one of the few movies that I can recall that I've ever seen is the movie Heidi, you know. It's just pure and simple. I watch that movie over and over, you know. Even though I know, you know, it's got, you know, Michael Redgrave in it, you know. But it's about as good and pure as anything that you'll ever find that came out of Hollywood.
Yeah, and the point being that get out of the polluted city, and she was well.
Yeah, never wanted to leave the Alm, did she? No.
Yeah. Oh well, thank you guys. I like listening to you, and I didn't mean to upset, so I thought, well, okay, they're not going to want to hear me say anything, but I wanted to make sure Andy did know.
Well, thanks for calling. You know, I really appreciate it. You made my day. And I also have, we have one more caller. And so let's get to him, and we'll keep Andy on. We'll see where this goes. Lark in Texas. Did I just sing his name? Yeah, I did. Good morning, Lark.
Well, morning, y'all.
Morning,
Lark. I thought I would weigh in on just a few things. I like to, I subscribe to something called mnemonic devices. And these are things that assist your memory. Because, I mean, in this world, I mean, we are bombarded with information.
Okay.
And, of course, as we well know, we consume more media, especially electronic media, as a people than any other people in human history.
Yeah.
So we have to ask ourselves, well, what could be the fallout of such a phenomenon? So that's why I like what's called mnemonic devices, and that's spelled M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, E-M-O-N-I-C, mnemonic. That's something that assists your memory. So what I thought I'd pass on to y'all for your benefit, hopefully, and maybe some of your listeners, is this idea of the nation state, the market state, and the city state. That's easy to remember. So in a communitarian system, what's happening is the nation state is going bye-bye. It's going by the wayside.
Go ahead.
Because it's thought obsolete. And in this place, we have seen, for example, with these free trade agreements and what's happening locally where you live right now, is you're seeing the emergence of the so-called market security state. And it's known by other things, too. But a market security state is essentially a series of contractual arrangements, okay, because these things, and especially with the World Wide Web and the near-instant facility for communication that we have.
Yes, sir.
This is all going to replace the nation state because, again, it's thought obsolete. And then given what we know about sustainable development and our common future from the Reagan-Thatcher era, the Brundtland Commission report, which codified the language of sustainable development and its 17 sustainable development goals, we see this effort to get people really off the land into the city, to the new city state.
Yeah.
And these city states are all data-driven and SMART, so-called. If you look up that acronym SMART, there's all kinds of definitions for it.
Yeah.
And you can go to my website and look at just three of them. You know?
Hey, Mark, if I can real quick, you know, did I pique your interest to call? Because as soon as I read this article in the newspaper, communities in school, these counselors that they're trying to bring in, and then I saw who's running the program here, I'm like, you know, every time I hear, you know, you don't see that word very often, but, you know, this is CIS, Communities in Schools. And I'm like, man, Lark would just love this. I mean, I will hate it, but love it, because it's just confirmation of your communitarian
friend. Need more confirmation?
It involves everything, and it's in every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, and it'd be useful to look at this phenomenon called the social impact bond. Okay, because not only we're going to have programmable money, but we're going to have an entirely new economic system, which is based upon social engineering scores. Okay, so you have to look at something called what's known as ESL, or emotional social learning. And this is to drive those sustainable development goals to something called ESG, which is Environmental social governance.
Yep.
And when you see that word governance, it always means your management. Because, again, government is no longer the watchword of the day. Because, remember, nation states are going bye-bye. Government is really just another corporation, just like your mayor is actually incorporated. And your city council, your county commissioners, they're all incorporated.
Yeah.
And they've got bylaws and everything else that you expect with a corporation. Except nowadays, this idea of a shareholder is being replaced by this word stakeholder.
Stakeholder. Yeah.
And a stakeholder is a communitarian. So what happened with this social engineering that's going on is they're molding everybody into actually becoming a communitarian. Y'all might remember.
You bring up the word stakeholder. You know, folks, if you're in a property owners association or whatever you call it, you know, you're a stakeholder. You're not a shareholder. You're a stakeholder. And this is Lark's communitarian crap coming in.
Yeah. Well, let me share with y'all some recent comments I made on my Facebook page, because actually I don't really do Facebook. But I thought, since there seems to be a goodly number of people that are talking about real issues and real things and shit that's happening, et cetera, I thought, well, I'll be helpful to some of these people, because at least they're talking about things that are near and dear to me, you know. So I'll just share them with you just to close out. But here's the first one. Lying is permissible under communitarian law, but the people adversely affected will be the last to know.
Wow.
And secondly is individuals don't count, only the community stakeholders. This points to the sad fact that ordinary people will have to learn a whole new language if they're ever to finally grasp what's hit them. And then finally, I'll leave you all with this. Under communitarian law, it is the noble lie, a la Plato, that is observed first and foremost. And I signed it, Just an American, which is the name of the website that I started just so that I could publish my research notes prior to every one-hour broadcast that I did on RBN in 2011 and 2012, in which for 1 hour every week, I spoke about communitarianism, and I want you to know that I never got a single caller, one single caller, in 14 months on RBN that ever addressed the topic. And the reason is because if you want to take over a people, if you want to take over a country, and you want to take over the entire world, why would you tell them under what name the system and the law would be used to take over the world? Why would you let the targeted populations, the subject of this warfare upon them, actually know the actual work? Because then they might start asking questions like, what the hell what do you mean? What the hell are you talking about? You know? So what they do is they make sure...
The ultimate enemy of progress is questions. Like who was it? Chris Steiner, you know, it plays on the ultimate, you know, enemy of progress is questions, and they don't want people questioning.
And here's a final mnemonic device for y'all.
Chris Switzer.
The word grin. The word grin is an acronym that stands for genetics, robotics, information, and nanotech. And when you have innovation, innovate or die as your credo, as your watchwords, then what you have is tyranny with a smiley face. So
communitarianism is the end of individualism, because we have to do it on behalf of the community. And those of us who don't want to be with the community, apparently they'll have some solution for you too.
Get this, Andy. They call it the final solution. Because in their minds, it is a system. Wait a minute, let me finish, Alan. Hold on. Communitarianism is called the final solution because it's been deemed or it's thought so perfect that no new conflict or a debate need arise, a la the our understanding of the Hegelian dialectic. Go ahead.
How about this, that we were told in a science fiction thing, the Borg, resistance is futile. You will be assimilated.
If you were online, you'd know that that's on my website.
Yeah.
Indeed. They were programming us even then, going all the way
back.
Well,
I'd say maybe resistance is futile, but in my case, it's necessary. Because,
exactly.
You know, you're measured by yourself over time, over your life. And when you get to the end of your life, you look back at yourself and you say, well, did I do good or did I do bad? And if you understand this stuff, well, resistance is futile, right? I'm not going to win. I'm not going to beat this thing. But, hey, I tried, and I'm going to keep trying.
Except in your local environment. I cannot protect the whole collective out here.
That's just choose your battles.
I can protect what's mine in my local environment as much as I can. When you start getting representatives to represent, you know, supposedly your views, you know, it's all twisted and used. All I can do is protect my local environment. You come onto my property uninvited and try to do ill deeds to me, it's not going to be pretty. You know, I will protect what's mine. That's all I can do. You know,
that's the mindset here in Ohio.
This beautiful community of people out, and I'm sorry to use that word, Lark, but you know, this beautiful network of people. You know, my neighbors, my cousins that live around me. I would love to be, you know, to have the same mindset, but you know, what they've done to us, these people are not stupid. They're just freaking stupid. You know, they're brilliant.
I can say that they're stupid. They're just being steered. They're puppets. They're useless idiots, right? So what is they? Let's talk about that. The APA, the American Planning Association, tells the mindless morons, right, what to do. And then they go home and they eat and they collect their bills and then they go on vacation and they tell everybody that it's okay. The APA goes to the newspaper and nobody has to know anything. Nobody, you know, they can have these little degrees or school education things or whatever, but they don't have to know. And they're ignorant and they're in a bliss state. They look at people that are causing disruptions like my friends here in town. Right. And saying, well, they don't like the fact that they're doing this and they're evil. It's like, well, OK, but they're smarter than you. And they understand where the world's going and you don't. You're, I don't know. They're not smarter than us. You know, they might have a lot of plans and entities
that are putting stuff in. They're not smarter or more intelligent. They've got a very higher level degree of at the base. You can call it evil, ill intent.
I hope you're wrong.
Well, don't forget what Sun Tzu said. I mean, if you know yourself, or you claim to, and yet you don't know your enemy, you can expect to lose half your battles.
Yeah.
But if you know your enemy and yourself, then you can expect to prevail in all your battles. Here's some more mnemonic devices. First, the three C's and the three A's. Three C's tell you if you're part of the problem or the solution. Because communitarianism is so pervasive, it hurts. You see it no matter where you look. Okay? And the three C's, of course, are compliant, complacent, and complicit. If you're one, you're probably all three, which means you're part of the problem. And then the three A's is where they're trying to take us. Okay? That would be amnesia. That's a loss of memory. And abulia and apathy. And I leave it to y'all to look up the word abulia, amnesia, and apathy. And
Lark, can I boil it down to this? If they can make you believe absurdities, they can make you commit atrocities.
Well, and all of us are socially engineered from birth, whether we want to realize it or not. We were actually imprinted with genetic memory from our parents and grandparents. And guess what? We got a new host on this network. His name is Michael Gaddy. And if people will listen to him, they're going to find out all. They're going to find out all the myths and the lies that we were told to about who we are as Americans since the founding, actually since the settlement of this land. And since the founding of this country, first under the Articles of Confederation and then the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, hang on, Alan, before you drag us a different direction. Thank you, Lark, for coming on the show today. I want to close this thing out with Andy for a minute. And, Alan, you can get
Thanks,
in a
Lark.
Couple words, but I do appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Lark.
What was that you were going to say there, Andy? I'm sorry, Alan?
No. Let Andy close out. I've been talking enough. Sorry, folks.
Okay. What are your thoughts right now, Andy? You have lots of them. You open your mouth constantly.
Oh, I do. And that's probably what got me thrown on the pavement at the bus station. I think she was eavesdropping, didn't like what I was saying. But that's embarrassing, I know, but what the heck, it happened.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Alan was saying, you know, he was trying really hard not to use the word community when he was talking to Lark there. But, yeah, somebody could. That's the attitude up here in Ohio, out here in the woods and stuff. I'm sure some of the people in Athens, since it's a small city or whatnot, feel the same way. But, yeah, you come mess with me, and I've talked to several of Lauren's friends, and she has a lot of them, and they're all family, you know. Yeah, this is I don't want to say community because I don't want to offend Lark. I don't know what this is, a neighborhood of people of like-minded. And so Lauren finds herself in a very good spot. Now, like you were saying earlier, well, you didn't really move there. No, that's true. I really didn't move here. I came here to help Lauren out, and she's getting me some treatment that my legs need, and I'm very thankful for her for doing that. If things should work out and I can find a way to support myself, and, you know, because this house is for her daughters when we get done with it and stuff, so I'll have to move on at some point, but we'll see where it goes. I'm not saying I'm not going back to Texas, but I'm not saying I am either, so it's really up in the air right now.
Be very ambiguous.
You know, if you can't go back to Lubbock, you can come and stay here with me.
I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
Oh, boy. The newspaper's going to have something to write about.
Uh-oh. Fredericksburg. Two patriots get together. Here comes World War III.
Yeah,
or they'll put out, Andy and Alan are gay lovers.
Oh, shiitake mushrooms.
But see, you know, the whole thing is that doesn't do anything for anybody anymore, Alan, right? They make big production gay porn
theatrical movies. That would probably make me more socially acceptable.
Huh? Hey, by the way, you know, something that you'd like to talk about. God, what's his name? The comedian over there in Ukraine. You remember you always talked about him being a comedian and playing his piano with his pecker. And Tranny just did that on, I think it's BBC Three. I think I just read that thing. And so the tranny goes up there and starts playing the keyboard, right? And then in the middle of the song, he, she, it, right, rips off its dress. And there you have it, a couple, you know, breasts and a pecker. And he starts playing the dang piano, and he's like, yeah, that was the first time a tranny man has ever... We're a depraved world, Alan.
Take care.
No,
I'll sign off.
You're not part of it. Andy's not part of it.
Thanks, Alan.
I'm not part
of it. Hey, thanks, Steve, for having me on today. Have a good day there, RBN family.
It. Okay, guys, that's it. Hang on. Take care of Republic Broadcasting. We love you. Bye.
Blessing in this life, had a more intimate connection with the spirit world, learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.